Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's really 8:29. I don't know if you're allowed to start a meeting 1 minute before the posted agenda time, so I'll just kind of talk for a little bit. Okay, it's 8:30. It's 8:30 on my computer now, so we'll call this meeting to order. Thank you for joining us for the October 3rd meeting of the Community Impact Board. This is a funding meeting. We appreciate you being here. A lot of our applicants have been here before. I think all of our applicants have been here before in some way, shape, or form, so we're glad you're joining us. We will turn some time over to Candace to talk about upcoming meetings and the financial review.
Good morning. Thank you. This is the first funding meeting of fiscal year 2020 for this board. There are 15 priority projects that are seeking final approval today. There are two coming in on the pending list, and they have satisfied, I believe, what the board has requested of them. Uinta Fire Suppression Special Service District in the town of Levan. The town of Levan, however, has changed their request just a little bit. The original request was $90,000. They're requesting $97,000. They added some engineering costs to that application. If the board funds all applications today, as indicated on the financial page, it is doable. The board's current loan rate is a minimum of 2.5%. It is at the board's discretion. 0% loans can be accommodated out of the mineral lease fund, but not out of the bonus fund. Please sign in if you are here. In your red packet, there is a handout concerning November's meeting. If you will fill that out, the part that requests the number of nights you're going to spend and the number of people you'll be bringing needs to be returned to Pam Shostrom, the new admin assistant.
And white nameplate right here. So
white. It stands for purity. Notice yours are all brown, mine too. This is the list of the new applications that have been submitted for the upcoming second trimester of fiscal year 2020. The last four indicated there are planning, and they will be reviewed by the Community Development Office planners. There are 20 applications, and so it will be probably up for discussion as to how many meetings you want to accommodate these applications in. And with that, I defer to the chairman.
Great. Thank you, Candace. We're excited to get down to Moab again next month. Much easier drive for Commissioner Adams.
Good.
He said he wanted to say something, so I'm going to let him say something.
Every October the last 6 years, I come to this meeting with my pink shirt on and my pink tie. To honor the Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. My wife is a breast cancer survivor for the last 6 years, and so it gives me great honor to pay tribute to all of the breast cancer survivors, both men and women, and to all of those who are in this fight. I can tell you from a personal standpoint that it affects not only the people who have breast cancer, but their entire families and their extended families. And it's just important to me, and I appreciate the board's indulgence because I kind of make this tribute every year in October. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And thank you to your wife, because we like her better than you. So, but we like you a lot. That just says more about her than it does about
like
you.
I like her better than me, too.
We will do introductions, so everybody push your button down on your microphone as we go around. We'll start over with Gail and come back around this way, because I'm always accused of looking at this side of the room first, so I'll start over here.
Gail Gardner with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Kyle Stevens, representing the Utah Board of Water Resources.
Jack Lytle, representing Uinta Basin Association of Governments, Daggett County Commissioner.
Dean Baker, representing Uinta County.
I'm Bruce Adams, representing San Juan County Commission and also the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board Manager, Fund Manager.
You said it right.
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm with the State of Utah Community Development Office.
And Jonathan Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
Sure. Pamela Shostrom with the Housing and Community Development.
Good morning. Nagi Zinadi from UDOT Commission. And some of you are going to get the Christmas before Halloween this year.
Mike Dalton. I represent Five County Association of Governments. I'm Beaver County Commissioner.
Senator Ron Winterton. I represent Duchesne County.
Morning, everybody. My name is Greg Galecki. I represent the Water Quality Board.
Great. Thank you. We would like to excuse Treasurer Dampson and Commissioner Ogden from our meeting today. We'll just have to figure out how to get along without them. I think we've reviewed almost everything here today already. We have before us the minutes of September 5th. Would entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay, a motion from Commissioner Lytle and a second from Mr. Stevens to approve the minutes of September 5th. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
Okay, and an abstention from Mr. Galecki, who wasn't present at the meeting, so you didn't know what was said, and you didn't listen to the recording, so.
Well, I read it, but
okay, so that abstention is noted, and those minutes are approved. We'll move on to our priority projects. So these are projects we reviewed, and we are making final funding decisions on them. I'm told the town of Central Valley wants to come up and talk to the board. Is this correct? Do we have Central Valley here?
I'll make a motion that they not speak before the
board. Not in order, but we'll let them come up to the table and introduce themselves. And what we have before us, what was prioritized, was a $221,000 loan, 10 years at 2.5%, and a $1,105,000 grant. So that's what was on the priority list. You'll need to pull a mic and push the button on it until you get a green light. If you'll introduce yourselves and tell us what you want to talk about.
Okay, my name is Ken
can you,
Peterson.
Can you pull the mic toward you? Sorry.
My name is Kim Peterson, Mayor of Central Valley. And I've got Dave Nelson, who is going to go over the project and explain that, and we've got Carson DeMille with Jones DeMille Engineering. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Well, our discussion when originally you okayed this project was that we were not able to deal with the loan portion of that in terms of servicing that debt, because we're already paying CIB for a previous project. So basically, today, all we're back here to present to you is that we have reworked that project a little. We've got Carson here from Jones and DeMille if you've got any technical questions. And what we're proposing is that you drop the $250,000 loan portion of that, and we just go with the grant. We've still got our $800,000 that we're going to use on the Center Street portion of this project, but we are not in any type of a position to accept that proposal that you've got out there in terms of that loan. We cannot service that debt, so we're just requesting you drop that portion of it, leave the grant there, and we'll go forth with our project.
That's go to questions of the board. Commissioner Adams, I saw you first.
Let me see if I understand. Are you asking for $1.1 million in grant or $1.3? When you say drop the loan.
We're asking for $1.1, Mr. Adams.
So you can make the project work with
We can make the project work with $1.1 million in grant plus what we're putting in. We can make that project work. If you have any questions on that, Carson's more than willing to talk to you about what they've done to massage that project.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. How many businesses are in Central Valley?
None.
So you have no businesses to tax, so that so the only way you can raise money is to raise taxes on the homeowners.
Correct.
That'd be correct. And I did just some quick calculations. Just looking at, we've got a loan right now for $250,000. That our payback is just over $30,000 a year on that. And so I just calculating the $221,000 that we wanted in, you wanted in a loan, and taking the fact that we've got roughly, maybe just a little more, 230 homes, and calculating that out, we would have to raise each home owner roughly $120 a year in property tax to service that $221,000 loan, which is a little bit hard for us to swallow. That's why we're willing to reduce the project and maybe still get the project done. Maybe not as good a project as we really anticipated, but maybe a livable one.
Well, Chairman, I come from a small community. I have tender feelings for places like Central Valley and Tabiona and Monticello and these kind of communities. We've got the money. I would propose I'll make a motion that we give them $1.326 million in a grant and go back to the original request and fund it as was presented originally.
Second.
So let me clarify this, because I think they're only requesting the $1,105,000 in a grant.
Reducing their project. The project still needs to be done. The original project, we don't want them back here in 2 years to pigtail on what we're doing now. Let's give them the money and let them get their project done.
Okay, so the motion that was made by Commissioner Adams and seconded by Commissioner Dalton is to approve a $1,326,000 grant. Further discussion, Mr. Galecki.
Yeah, I'd like to hear, the reduction of that's about 15%. How is the project reduced?
Go ahead. So what we did is looked at an alternative that isn't quite as secure. We looked at a 20-year design for the road. We looked at an option that has a few more unknowns, but we feel would give a 15 to 20-year lifespan, maybe not quite as structurally sound as the original proposal, but would still give a good product that would last a long time, but maybe doesn't have quite the insurance policy that the original proposal would have. That's how we reduced that amount. I can get into more specifics than that if you'd like me to. But
I would. So I don't know. Are you talking about a funding mechanism, or are you talking about an engineering design changes?
Engineering design changes. So the original structure we had was a full reconstruct. Our reduced would be to cement treat the base, which isn't maybe quite as secure because we don't know. We've done some testing, but we don't know exactly every. There may be some spots that wouldn't last as well as others, but it would still give you a good product that would last a long time. But we wouldn't be fully reconstructing the road as the original proposal asked for.
John? So you had done some testing, but through it. Are there just specific areas or because of the frequency of your testing?
Well, we've tested several locations. There are some areas that we know don't have the best subgrade. We know that from previous projects that have been done in the past. And so we felt the best proposal would be to reconstruct the entire road, excavate out that material, and replace it. But the alternative to that, if we couldn't get the funding, was to cement treat the material in place, which has a significant savings, but maybe doesn't have quite the insurance policy or potential lifespan as a full reconstruct.
When you say an insurance policy, engineering, explain that.
So we design it based on equivalent axle loads and for a 20-year life. And so this alternative design could potentially do that depending on the structural value of the soil in different locations. It varies quite significantly from one end of the project to the other. And so we usually use the conservative value, meaning the worst-case scenario for our design. But this alternative, we just looked that, you know, we could still get a good design. Maybe those areas that we wanted to be more conservative on, we aren't. But would still give a good structural value that should last a long time.
And so you mentioned the axle. Sorry, just
sure. You're
so
in order.
On the axle load, what type of traffic? I mean, do you have heavy load? Is it a more, not to say residential, but is it a high traffic, high axle load, or is it?
There's quite a bit of agricultural use. Trucks hauling silage, hay. There's a lot of access from trucks, just people that live in the area that also commute through there in trucks. But it's not a high traffic road, but okay. There is truck traffic on that road, especially from agricultural use.
Okay.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yeah, I second the motion so we can have this discussion. I travel a road in Beaver County 4 or 5 times a day that has been half done. Or not done like it was supposed to be. It's been done three times in 10 years. And I think you're creating yourself a problem. You'll be back here doing, asking for money. Because I've seen roads that have bad base. And if you have any truck traffic at all on it, agricultural truck, I don't think it's a sound decision to even spend $1.1 million on a road that may not last. And so that's why I am backing what Commissioner Adams said, is if you're going to do it, you need to do it right. We're only talking $221,000 difference.
Thank you.
Okay, Mayor Baker.
Question here for you. I can see that you've got a UDOT grant for to help with this construction. Normally, maybe Nagy can answer that. You get grants from UDOT, you've got to build to UDOT standards.
Yes.
So I don't understand this whole process of cutting back, because I'm pretty sure UDOT, you know, is not going to.
We will not allow that, yes.
Maybe you can answer that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, may I?
Sure.
First of all, Mayor, clarification. Original Joint Highway Committee commitment, which is the UDOT grant, to you was $1,039,000. Why are you showing $794,000 in your application?
Well, that's true federal, and then they convert that money from federal to state, so everybody gets a little chunk of it. And to answer your question, that money has to be dedicated to the Center Street portion of this project, no place else. It can't go on the South Main portion of it. That is committed to that portion. But when they convert that money from federal to state, there's always a reduction, and we're dealing with about $880,000 with our $86,000 on that project is what we're dealing with for that particular portion of the project, not $790,000.
Okay, so you have to do the state conversion rate.
Yeah, we have to do that. There's reasons they do that, and there apparently UDOT feels like there's good reasons. We don't have a lot of input into that. But part of it's based on the standards and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure. I can't explain that to you. But they will generally always convert that money from federal to state, and then everybody gets a little chunk of their flesh out of the whole damn deal.
But to answer Mayor Baker's question, that we will not allow you to do your own deal. We have to have a supervision of the roads that you build, and based on the UDOT standard. That is the UDOT money, and that's the state money that has to be
Yeah, but it's a different road.
It's the Center Street portion of this will have to be built to UDOT standards. The South Main portion of it doesn't have to meet those same qualifications.
But it's still, UDOT is going to require to have supervision until the money is going to spend, right?
No, on the Center Street portion.
On the Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Right.
And you also understand that until the money comes to you, which is 2020, what are you going to do if the money doesn't get to your hands? Because right now, the way the federal bill rides, we have only 60 days of the money to spend in the states until, with the, of course, Congress allows some more money. Do you have any kind of reserve money to proceed the project?
It's our understanding that's already been converted and set into this project. How that money gets from federal to state, I don't know, but that money's been converted and put into this Center Street project already.
That contract has already been executed and signed by us. That money's there. We will soon start the design on the Center Street portion of this. It's already committed. It's there. So that's not an issue, sir.
I know, but it's a 2020 project based on the Joint Highway Committee.
2020 project?
Yeah. So, anyway, according to whatever the Joint Highway Committee's allocated funds, this project is a 2020 project.
Construction. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Commissioner Adams.
Just so the board members know kind of where my feelings are on this thing, if you don't already know. We came in and we kind of made them an offer, not knowing how much money we were going to have in the end. Mm-hmm. And we come here today, and we've got the money to fund this project at the original request. That's what I'm saying. We kind of beat them down, is what I'm saying. And they went back, and they trimmed every place they could to try and make it work, because they need the project. They need it bad. We've got the money. This is a community that absolutely cannot afford a loan. We need to fund this project and give them. Candace says it's the Cadillac form of the street. They get Cadillac streets in the Wasatch Front every place you look. You got cement about that deep all over the freeway. What's wrong with giving a little community who really has a need, giving them a Cadillac street for a change?
So I'm going to ask a question of you, Commissioner Adams, because I think you made a statement that it's a community that can't afford it. And this is going to come up a lot in our discussion this afternoon about what indicators we're using to evaluate projects. So I just went back to, and whether you consider this a perfect tool or not, our financial analysis is basically green across the board as far as a low-debt community and you know, very strong financials, which would indicate that they can't afford that. That's kind of what our financial analysis mm-hmm. says. So, you know, I'm also sensitive to the fact that, you know, small towns in general, this is not the first time we've heard, you know, we can't afford it and nobody wants to raise taxes. I mean, I totally get that situation. But what is going to be our standard of can a community pay for it or not? Because that is absolutely something we should be evaluating under statute on whether we give grants or loans. And it's something we're going to put a lot more parameters around in the future and have a discussion about this afternoon. So, you know, you made the statement they can't afford it. I mean, what's your feeling on where that standard is and why you feel that way?
Well, I just know that small communities don't have big budgets and they don't have much flexibility in raising things. What's your annual budget for this town?
Our annual budget when we start is about $180,000.
So they raise $180,000 in property tax or whatever they're raising. They're already spending $30,000 a year in paying back an additional CIB loan.
Right now we're paying $57,000 because we've got a $27,000 water repayment each year, plus the last road project of $30,000.
So I don't know.
Those different revenue sources, though, you need to get BNC road funds, one loan.
Depending on your revenue sources, this is a road, so B&C road funds are probably utilized to pay the one of the loans, and then the water project uses water revenue to pay it, correct?
That's correct. And the B&C road funds are right around $45,000 a year.
And that's part of that $180,000 as far as we figure as revenue.
Then this isn't the only road you try to maintain in your community, is it?
Absolutely not.
So you gotta
we've got another project we throw at you now if you'd like, but we'll let it pass.
So you got $45,000 in B&C road funds that you take $30,000 out to spend on the other project. That leaves you $15,000 to maintain your other roads. And we've talked to different towns about keeping up on their yearly maintenance on roads so they don't have to come back and get money to reconstruct those roads time and time again. I just think that a town like this that doesn't have much ability to raise taxes on anything but the residents, they need some flexibility for emergencies or things that come up. And so, you know, I they say they can't afford it, Jonathan. You're the banker.
Well, I'm trying to, yeah, I mean, we're having a lot of this conversation about having consistent decision making and trying to get our arms around, not just this particular application, but like applications that come in and who, since we're responsible for keeping a portion of this fund revolving, whether we have, what we consider an excess balance in our mineral lease account or not, we're still supposed to keep a portion of that revolving. We're supposed to evaluate whether a community can afford to repay. And, you know, the decision we make today on this project should be consistent with decisions we're making in the past, decisions we're making in the future. And, you know, again, kind of deciding where that line is on whether communities can afford it. Oftentimes it's not based on current budgets or current rates or current tax levels, because you have to raise those things in order to pay for new things. And whether it should be the residents of that community who are the beneficiaries paying for that, or whether it should be in grant form from this board, that's the discussion that we really need to solidify going forward. And so that's trying to kind of what I'm trying to bring to the discussion here. We've got our bond counsel that wants to comment. Bill.
On the affordability issue, there may actually be a statutory issue on this. You cannot pledge more than 85% of your B&C road funds for loans. And if I'm understanding the numbers right, the other issue on B&C, it can't be a term of longer than 10 years. So if I'm hearing the numbers right, this would take them above 85% of their B&C road funds. So
that's correct.
It's not just a matter of their overall budget. It's whether they could issue a B&C B&C road fund bond, and it doesn't sound like they could.
If that was the chosen revenue source, yes. Mm-hmm. Senator Winterton.
Well, going back to the minutes and looking at what we did when we approved this, we all wanted this project to happen, and we had a deferral of 3 years so that the loan that they're presently paying off would be complete, and then they just continue paying us. So we want the project to happen. But Bruce is right. We didn't know at the time how much money we would actually have to allocate. So I'm in favor of this project under the proposal.
Mr. Glucky.
Everybody always hears my my comment about roads and gravel roads and such. And I agree, coming from a small community, you know, the need and, you know, everything that you said, Bruce, I agree with. I'll probably make a substitute motion.
No, let's just vote right now. You said you agreed. Let's vote.
That was an option. But the vote call.
On our process and principle, I'm going to make a substitute motion that they go with the changes with engineering, that they don't go up to the, you know, that we give them the $1.1 million. The reason being is that, you know, it's a 15% reduction. I looked at it. Engineering, as far as the traffic and axle load and my understandings of how concrete works, I think it's a viable option. They're not, you know, we talk about a Cadillac and such. I believe this is a, it's a good, they went back, they sharpened the process, they are doing of what is a good project. And so I believe the 1.1, you know, just coming back and not taking the loan and just doing that project is a reasonable process.
So that was a substitute motion?
Yes.
Yes, to approve a $1,105,000 grant?
Yes.
Is there a second?
And no loan, right?
There's no loan in that substitute. Last call for a second. Seeing none, that dies. Commissioner Dalton.
Call for question.
Okay, the motion before us is to approve a $1,326,000 grant. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. We have Mayor Baker, Commissioner Lytle, and Mr. Galecki opposed. That motion, real quick, that passes. That is approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No.
Yes.
No. 1 million.
Original application.
Okay. Hopefully we can run through these other projects a lot faster because I'm told that we don't have anybody else. Although we may just start to get a line of people coming up to change their terms. So Monroe City is on the priority list to approve a $34,000 grant.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Zanotti and a second from Mayor Baker. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Pinyon Forest Special Service District, $155,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%, and $155,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Motion from Senator Winterton, seconded from Commissioner Dalton. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Tabby Valley Parks and Recreation Special Service District, $40,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Senator,
second.
Senator Winterton makes a motion to approve, seconded by Commissioner Dalton. Further discussion.
I'll third the motion.
seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That is approved unanimously. Neola.
I don't know.
Make sure I'm not skipping anything here. Okay. Neola Water and Sewer Improvement District, $167,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
So a motion made by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Mr. Stevens. I'll give it to him.
Good.
Further discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Central Utah Water Conservancy District, $3.5 million loan, 30 years, 0%.
Motion to approve.
Senator, Senator Winter makes the motion. Mayor Baker seconds the motion to approve. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Centerfield City, $82,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Dalton, seconded by Mayor Baker to approve $82,000 grant. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Centerfield City, $250,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $250,000 grant.
So moved.
Mr. Zanotti makes the motion, seconded by Mayor Baker to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Grand County Municipal Building Authority, $3,548,000 loan, 30 years, 0%. $1,182,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Adams makes the motion and a second from Commissioner Lytle to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Cedar Mountain Fire Protection District, $706,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, $234,500 grant.
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Commissioner Dalton made the motion. Mayor Baker had his hand up, so I'll give him the second on that. To approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Town of Antimony, $325,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Commissioner Adams and Mr. Stevens on the second. To approve. Seeing further discussion to that motion?
You know, I wasn't here for that discussion, and it's going to go through. But, looking at, I doubt that they're going to be able to sustain the maintenance on it. And I don't know if that was a full part of the discussion, but that's one of my concerns on that.
Would you like to ask our applicant a question?
Yes, please.
It's the town of Antimony here. Okay, come on up to the table here. You're lucky ones to get asked a question by Mr. Galecki.
So, not to delay things, I guess looking at it, if you haven't, since I wasn't here, you probably didn't hear my speech last week, is that, I live on a gravel road, would love for it to be, paved, and but we just can't afford it. And so we often have come in and have discussions about whether they can afford the maintenance on it. I know Garfield has a real tough, the county has very low income and such. Could you just explain how your road plan and sustained maintenance is going to go?
In the road and street addendum that was submitted with the packet, it outlines kind of the next 10 years of maintenance that it would be performed on the street. So Antimony has saved quite a bit of money now to go with the grant to do kind of a larger maintenance process right now. Their BNC road funds, I could be a little bit off, but around 18,000 a year. So they kind of need to save a couple years, a few years, and then do a maintenance cycle in a few years and do a maintenance cycle versus doing $18,000 a year. Not even hardly enough to get a contract from Mobilize to a remote area as Antimony. So their process has been kind of save for a few years, do a project, save for a few years, new project. So it's outlined in that maintenance thing. It's a few years, and then we do a couple streets of maintenance. Primary chip seal maintenance, crack seal and chip seal on those streets and continue that over the next 10 years.
So every few years you'll come in for, about a two-third grant for every project?
That's not the plan. We've requested $325,000 in grant. We've got $175,000 to go with it. And with the $18,000 a year C&B road funds, we feel like we can maintain the roads if we get on top of them and get them in good condition now. The plan as proposed by Ensign Engineering, Kelly, is that, with that money that we accrue, we can maintain the roads.
Okay. So you won't, part of that plan, and I must have missed it, so you won't, part of the funding and such is that this gets you on top of it, and so you won't have to be coming in for another grant.
We feel like we are on. If we get on top of it, we can maintain and take care of what we have without coming back for more.
Okay. Thank you.
We do need to maintain a database of all the commitments from these communities who say they will not come back for these types of projects.
You've heard that before?
We have, and oftentimes it's true, so I don't want to just say that it's never true.
We'd like it to be true. We'd rather take care of ourselves than have to come and ask.
Right.
But we
want you to go on the record, which you have. Thank you very much. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of approving a $325,000 grant, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Town of Cannonville, Town Hall and Medical Center, $232,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%, and a $347,000 $1,500 grant.
Motion to approve.
Commissioner. Second. Commissioner Lytle makes the motion. Mayor Baker seconds to approve. Any further discussion? Commissioner Dalton.
You said 20-year on our paper. It says 30-year. Just a clarification.
That's correct.
Just so that it's on the record. Okay, the
20 years in application.
Yeah, but it says 30 years on the this one. I was looking at the new one is 30 years. So okay, 20.
20 years it is.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for clarifying.
Just clarification.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
I didn't keep up. So was it 30 year or 20 years?
It's 20 years.
20 years.
20 years.
20 years. No going back now. It's approved.
No, I just wanted clarification. I wasn't trying to back it up.
Town of Leamington, $100,000 grant.
I'll make a motion to approve this one. If you remember the discussion on that, there was just no way that they could do it. Hey, it's an older building.
Second.
Okay. Senator Winchner makes the motion, seconded by Mr. Stevens, to approve a $100,000 grant. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Town of Canaraville, $225,000 loan, 10 years, 2.5%, $225,000 grant.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Zanotti makes the motion. Set Commissioner Dalton on the second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. And our last on the priority list is Cache County for $12,500,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%.
Motion, I'll make the motion for second. David Damption.
I'll second it for him, too.
So a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second from Commissioner Lytle to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Okay, we're on to pending projects. These are ones that we've reviewed in some way, shape, or form, got tabled until they came back with additional information. We will invite Uinta Fire Suppression Special Service District to the table, and we'll turn some quick time over to Candace to recap our discussion to date on this.
The board noted the absence of financial information and financial analysis to determine affordability. The applicant indicated that since they are not a taxing entity, the usual financial information is not available, but there should be updated information on the state auditor's website. At this time, the entity has no debt. So Chairman Hardy clarified that the board seeks to determine affordability with a financial analysis. And the board requested more financial information prior to making the final award. So with that, they have submitted additional financial information. It is in your board docs packet. And I turn the time over.
Okay, we have our applicants with us. I think now that we have all the information, I'm sorry to inform you that you have all green indicators, which means you can take on tons of debt. So do you want to speak anything to the project or just respond to questions? I'll give you some time
if you want. Just to kind of give a brief overview. So Uinta Fire District has asked for 3 trucks, 1 pumper truck, and 2 water tenders.
Sorry, can you introduce yourselves?
Oh, Jeremy Raymond, Director of Uinta Fire District.
Thank you.
Mike Davis, the financial person.
Art Haslam, Uinta County Commissioner.
Great. The request, again, is for 3 pumper trucks. Our fire district services the entire Uinta County, including municipalities and unincorporated area. We feel like this is a very worthwhile project. Our fleet is getting old very quickly, and we are in need of these 3 vehicles to be able to help us fight fires and also be able to specifically fight oil and gas fires with foam capabilities. So we have looked at our finance. You've looked at our finance. Originally, we have talked about a 50-50 grant loan. In our board meeting, it was decided our money as we go throughout the year is slowly dwindling and going down in the wrong direction. We asked in this grant application for a 75% grant and 25% loan. Since that time, again, our money situation is going down. And so we would like to provide a little bit more information on that. I'll turn the time over to Commissioner Haslam to just speak a little bit about that.
They always give me the rough part.
And you're not number nine.
I'm not number nine. Just as it indicates up here, the green, it would show that they could afford some debt. With that, I want to just preload this a little bit and understand that we have six special service districts. Three of them are a set rate, and three are they fluctuate with how our mineral lease comes in. And so that's why their numbers look as good as they do. But when they sent this in, and you have these green numbers, they were receiving $1.6 million a year. Their new allocation is going to be 1.2. With what the mineral lease has dropped and with what the county has to do to keep our districts alive, we have to change the allocations. And so their number is going to drop $400,000 this next year. With that being said, you'll see that they'll end up taking $400,000 out of their savings just to operate one more year. It's the only choice that we have to keep our services to our community. We're fighting a double-edged sword right now in our community. Is of course, our the minerals, the prices of oil and gas are dropping, but yet when they do come in and drill, they're drilling on private property. And so we're not receiving any mineral money back to the county, but we still have the impact of them being there. And they're tearing up our roads and they're doing those things. So we have to change our money around so we can still keep our roads fixed and maintained and not lose what we have. And so our districts that we're receiving enough to survive are not gonna get that much money. The biggest problem we have right now is they were committed to this much, but they're not going to receive that much. And they have all six of our districts have looked at their budget. They've cut everywhere they can cut. A lot of our districts that had three or four employees are down to one employee. Some of the larger districts that had 40 or 50 employees are down to 24. They're dropping everything they can as fast as they can, but we still don't receive enough mineral lease money to operate these districts. And I understand that's not your problem, but the problem we have is this is an essential service that we have. We don't only protect Vernal and Uinta County. We take care of all the oil and gas industry. We cover those fires, along with helping in Daggett County and the Forest Service. So we're out there on our own, and with Duchesne County, we take care of that whole corner of Utah. And without these trucks, without these water tenders, we can't fight these oil and gas fires as we're being asked to fight. And we are always the first responders there. They call in another when a location catches on fire. We're usually there, 4 to 6 hours before the professionals show up, and we keep it from spreading. And usually we can have it out. And so I would just ask, and I know that it came in at a 75-25, but I would ask you to look at your green indicators there and deduct $400,000 out of their savings for this next operating year and realize that they're going to go to a $1.2 million operating budget instead of 1.6. And I would ask for a full grant on this.
I knew they'd line up. Okay, Commissioner Adams.
Say one more thing real quick. Jonathan.
Hold on.
I just want to say one more thing, and I'm not piling on what happened first, just so you know that. We had this discussion before we left last
time. Okay, Commissioner Adams.
The only thing I want to say about this project, he said that the trucks were getting old and dwindling. I want him to know I feel their pain. I'm getting older and dwindling too. I'm still wondering how it happens quicker than day to day.
Mayor Baker.
Yeah, in support, and I appreciate
as we sat here today and talked about monies and to roads and some of these projects, I think, well, but they come in and ask. If you go to the blue sheet on fire trucks, you can see Naples City, we did get one come in for that $84,000, but Uinta County has not come in for a fire truck or anything for a long time. And I'd be willing to make the motion that we fund this project as an all grant, realizing they are one of the highest producers of energy and are probably the most impacted we have because we deal with that oil and gas and this up and down and constant trying to do. So I'd be willing to make that motion.
I would second that motion.
Okay, that motion made by Mayor Baker and seconded by Senator Winterton is to approve a $1,480,000 grant, correct?
Correct.
Discussion with that?
Discussion. Commissioner Lytle?
One of the comments I'd like to make, I was going to second it, but they were quicker than I was. But the fact that they're, in terms of agreements with Daggett County, whatever they do with Duchesne County, the things that they're doing to spread that, their expertise and knowledge, you know, we certainly pay into it to help with that. But they're very generous with making themselves available for any of the situations, and we're very grateful for their effort.
Question,
Mr. Zanotti. Yes.
Commissioner, is any of these private gas and oil companies contributing to your efforts?
Yes, they do.
In what way?
Donations.
So even with that contribution, you're still lacking this much funding?
Yes, and especially this right now. With oil sitting at 55 and we're taking a 17 to 34% deduct on our oil, they're having a hard time even drilling, let alone producing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, donations are down right now. And that's why we haven't been here in the past, is when we like to be self-sustaining. We like to take care of our own. And we, that's why we originally looked at this at a 50-50, because we felt like we could do it. But as you know, natural gas is at, what, 2:30 this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Oil's on the going down again. It's just not feasible for us at this time to do that. If it was feasible, we wouldn't be sitting here because we would take care of ourselves. And the oil companies would donate larger amounts and help us do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Glucky.
So reading the package, and let me first say that I'm listening to what you're saying. Looking at the green numbers, looking at, so I came in after reviewing the package thinking that you can, you know, based on the notes, the affordability, what was provided, that, you know, that I was thinking you could do 25 years, 50-50, for 25 years at 2.5%. And that would be $39,000 a year. The notes indicated, or the
minutes?
Minutes, thank you.
You're welcome.
The minutes indicated that, you know, you could, that $25,000 to $30,000 a year was doable. So, you know, I'm basing some of my thought process there. There's two questions I have. One is that I see that there's $20,000 in legal fees. I was wondering what that is.
So when I spoke with the Richfield, the loan, this is for the loan.
Bond?
Yes.
Bond.
The closing. Yes. That's what that's for.
Okay.
That was the number that your staff suggested.
And so you talk about, you know, your funding and your budgets and all, and you didn't list any other debt, you know, from it. Another question is that what happened to the $60,000 of matching funds?
It's still there.
Oh, I somehow missed that. Well, is there a motion on the table?
There is.
Okay. I'm going to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
I'm going to make a substitute motion of a 50% loan, 50% grant. At 1% for 25 years, and that brings it down to $33,000 a year. And even at when it was $44,000 a year, it's less than $2 per person for that type of protection. So I'm pretty much providing that for the basis of my substitutes. And see if anybody else supports that. But so it'd be a 50% loan, 50% grant, at 1% loan, or 1% for 25 years, and
okay.
That'll get down to the numbers that you thought were workable from the minutes.
So the motion on the table, the substitute motion, excuse me, on the table is to approve a $740,000 loan, 25 years, 1%, and a $740,000 grant. Is there a second to the substitute motion? You're a lonely man today, Greg. That substitute motion fails. So back to the underlying motion. Further discussion, Commissioner Lytle.
I'd hate for Mr. Davis to feel like he came without being able to speak more than just his name. But in terms of your efforts on the financial side, can you speak to what the commissioner was talking about in terms of the change in your budget in the coming years? And
so he's not only even correct in the mental health side of it, he's also correct. So my name is Mike Davis. I'm with Vernal City. I actually am employed by Vernal City, but we do the administrative parts for four of the districts. I just got my financials done for Vernal City, so we have a calendar year of June. I'm down about $500,000 in sales tax this year from last year. So we thought we were headed up, but no, we're headed down. And so that's just on the sales tax side of it. So it tells you that our economies, which of course we contradict, of course we go along with the mineral lease side of it. So even Vernal City, we're looking at things to cut and things to do on that side of it. Just to show you that our economy, of which way we're headed. So the good thing about the fire district is they get their lump sum and they stay within it. You see that they do have the $500,000 or $596,000, which is in your thing there. It doesn't tell you that this year they were planning, before this, we were planning on using about $100,000 of that for this budget. That's not in there. The economy of what's future is not in that, all the green lights. So those green lights don't, they're good. They tell you what they stand now, but they don't look at the budget and they don't look at the future on it.
Thank you.
One more question.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Chief, how old is your fleet?
It's averaged about 25 years old. We have 30 fire trucks, and they average 25 years old. With these fire trucks, it's not necessarily the miles or the year, it's the hours. As Commissioner Haslam just said, we'll go out, we'll go 60 miles out to an oil field, but we'll be there for a couple of days pumping on a fire. So you're talking 48, 72 hours of just the truck sitting and running and these pumps and the equipment operating. So, yeah, most of over half of our fleet is 20-plus years old.
So, like Mayor Baker said, why haven't you come before us? Because 25 years
we
old
have,
is,
we
is
have
that
come.
Older than Commissioner Adams.
We have come in before. I believe the last fire truck that we came in and asked for funding was back in 2012, I want to say, for LaPointe Tri-Del Fire Department. Before that, we've also come two previous times to ask for pumper trucks. So we are replacing them. We have done a good deal in trying to maintain and keep those trucks running, but the last couple of years we've failed to come in earlier is the problem they're running into.
So then, by adding this, then how many will be in your fleets? These two more.
So some of these, all three of these will replace. Those trucks.
Okay.
So they will replace. So those other trucks will either be surplused or auctioned off.
How many, for the record again, how many areas do you cover by name, the areas that you service?
We cover all of Uinta County, Vernal City, Naples City, and Ballard City. So the entire state, the entire county.
La Pointe.
Tridell, La Pointe.
Jensen.
So all the unincorporated and the cities. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
I was a lot younger in 2012.
By the fire truck age.
I think we all.
Mr. Galecki.
Sorry, another question. You may have covered this. But so on like the oil field fires that you're on for a couple of days, do you charge the company? Is there?
Yes, we do. Yep, we have a billing process that we charge for equipment used. Not necessarily for the man hours, but for the equipment to be reimbursed back and material. Yep,
so is there a standard rate, or how is that calculated?
Yeah, it's all off of a standard rate that the fire district has on our salary schedule, or not our salary schedule, but our bid, our billing schedule.
And have you looked at increasing those rates?
We haven't for a few years, but that's something that we can look at doing in the future, definitely.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, the motion before us is to approve a $1,480,000 grant. Do we need to subtract out the 20,000? Can we subtract out 20,000 that was set aside for a loan? Okay, so... all right, who made our motion here? Who made the motion originally?
I made
Mayor
that
Baker?
Motion. I'm good with that.
You'll amend that motion to, and seconded by Senator Winterton. So the motion before us amended is $1,460,000 grant. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Galecki opposes. That motion passes. A funding meeting, so you guys are good to go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there, it didn't come in, was there, we don't need to worry about, it's funding, so they're ready to go.
Yep.
There's no need for.
It's reviewed and approved for funding. Yep.
Too.
Okay, Town of Levan. I'm going to turn some time over to Candace. Levan, you can come to the table right now, but I'll turn some time over to Candace anyway.
I have requested from the chairman a little bit of time to discuss the financial situation that you see before you. You can see that we have received $19,925,000 this last trimester. If we funded everything as previously awarded, it would be a remaining balance of $5,716,079. In the discussion you just heard, the mineral development is down. What has sustained this mineral lease fund is loan repayments.
Hallelujah.
So you look at it and you see that there is a good amount of balance there, but that's an historical balance coming in. They're producing, and we still do get new mineral lease, but loan repayments have sustained this board. So please be vigilant on what you do, and if it's affordable and someone can afford it, you can do a 0% interest loan. This fund needs to stay revolving, but please bear in mind that's how it stays revolving, and thank you for indulging me.
Do you want to just give us a quick recap on the Levan application, Candace?
The town of Levan had a new utility shop application before us. The board asked if they had bid the project, indicating the estimate in the packet, because it seemed quite inexpensive. The applicant stated it was bid by a local contractor and included all the material costs, including concrete. So, though this board does not require that you have bids before you come in and present an application, an estimate that is solid is required. So, the applicant was encouraged to go through a bidding process once they have been approved for funding. But the verification that the board requested was that these are true costs and that you can accommodate the new utility shop for the costs indicated to the board. Also, the town of Laban has requested that instead of the 90,000 grant, they would like 97,000 in funding. The 7,000 additional was accommodated mainly through adding engineering fees.
Great. We have our applicants with us again. Thank you for joining us again. Do you want to introduce yourselves and add anything you want to the description?
Sure. My name's Corey Christensen. I'm the mayor of Laban, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We've asked for this funds for this utility shed. It's an equipment shed. We've had it on our list of projects for some years. It seems to just keep getting bumped off because there's other things that keep coming up that are more important. And one of the reasons for the increase, like I said, was some engineering. It's because it's a commercial building, because of state requirements. I understand that engineering is required on some of that. And then the added increase was, since we got the estimate, because of the cost of building materials, the concrete has went up sufficiently, as well as the steel for the project. So that was some of the increase there. Thank you.
Okay. Go to the board with questions. Senator Winterton.
Now, the request is 97,000. Mm-hmm. It looks like to me that the bid is 98.
They
do have cash, so that makes up the difference.
Yes. The 8 is an additional cash, your cash in the
almost
project?
9,
almost 9,000. Yes.
Okay.
So does that make it 105?
Commissioner Lytle, we'll recognize you. I have to get it in at least once a meeting, so go ahead.
I want to talk to you. What's the total project? Is it 105?
I think it's 105,803 is the total.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second on that.
Okay, there's a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $97,000 grant. Discussion, Mr. Galecki.
You beat me to it.
I withdraw my motion. If you don't want you're going to make the same motion. I'll withdraw.
I was going to make the same motion. My two comments on it were that, I really, and we see it often, but see the value of having an outbuilding. I need another one. But that also of, the cost and sharpening your pencil and doing it, at a cost that is really, worthwhile. So I think it's a good project.
I'll withdraw my motion and let Greg make a motion for the new outhouse.
You're okay.
Outhouse, huh? Okay. I don't think that's necessary, but at least he's going to vote. Okay. It sounds like he's going to vote with you. Yeah. So.
Well, I wanted him to have one motion he made today that was accepted.
I mean, we probably got one in the funding.
So the motion, point of order, the motion's been rescinded?
No.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, I hope you can answer this question. Is Laban spelled backward, naval, as that's the center of Utah between St. George and Logan?
It is spelled naval backwards. However, I think that Fountain Green's closer to the center, but that's pretty close. We like to claim that.
After 26 years, finally somebody answered that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Urban myth or something like that. So
I don't know.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of approving a $97,000 grant, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Please appreciate note in the that. Minutes, Greg voted for that.
Greg did vote in support, yes.
Thank you.
We are to items 9 on our agenda, which is board member discussion. We have 3 items. We first want to talk about CIB loan tool discussion. We'll invite Allison Price and Alex Buxton from Zions Bank to the table. And we'll turn some time over to Keith to give us a little background on this.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yes. Okay. We'll take a 5-minute break. They'll get ready. We will
be back in 10.
We'll be back. It's 5 minutes, so we'll say 9:45, and we'll definitely get started by 9:50. Thank you. Okay, we'll turn some time over to Keith to kind of give a little background before we turn it over to Zion to explain what we have on our screen. I shaved my head just so everybody can see over it and on the screen. That was the purpose of it. It had nothing to do with hair loss or anything like that. So, anyway, Keith, take it away.
It's the glare of the
bother. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several months ago, we noted that the board was starting to use the financial tools more robustly, which was greatly appreciated, and I think it's made a big difference in what we've been doing. But as you witnessed with the UNF Fire District in particular, the model that we have is looking at past indicators, and that can very much be a limiter. So we consulted with Zions Bank, who is our financial consultant, and they started looking at what we had, and they said, you know what? What you've got is really good, but there are areas that we can be improved. And, of course, they attend a lot of these meetings, and so they've picked up on what the needs of the board are and have tried to address those with a new model. So we've met with them many times over the past several months trying to find a system and a tool that would work better for each of you in analyzing the terms that we're offering and the way we're managing our finances. And so with that, Alex, I'll turn it over to you and your team.
Great. Can you hear me?
Can you hear
me? Oh,
there you go.
Thanks, Keith. Let me just introduce ourselves here. Alex Buxton with Zions Bank Public Finance, and we've got Japheth McGee and Allison Price over there. And as Keith mentioned, CIB approached us several months ago and asked us to take a look at the current system that is in place to determine interest rates and loan grant amounts and basically everything that you look at when you have an applicant that comes to you for funding. And the real brains of this analysis and the work we've done is sitting over there in the green shirt. So I'm not going to take much time here. I'm going to turn the time over to Allison. But anyway, I think what we've come up with is a great starting point. Allison will share some ideas and show you what she's put together. Just in this meeting today, Allison mentioned to me that, man, just listening to the discussions that have been had, I've got some other ideas that we could even enhance this better. So this is probably the first of draft of many to come as things evolve. But we want to get your thoughts. Anyway, I'll go ahead and turn the time over to Allison then.
Great. Thanks, Alex. Okay. So the first thing that we were asked to do is look at your existing model, which is very good. And kind of one of the first things that Sky mentioned is it would be great in your meetings if you had flexibility to make changes so that you could see on the fly different grant or loan allocations so that you could evaluate that and have the numbers, you know, at your fingertips. So this is very similar to your previous modeling. It's the same information that was on the model before. But on this input tab, my understanding is that the staff will have this general application information filled out. And then you guys, in the meeting, can decide, okay, well, let's change the project cost, let's change the grant, the loan, any of those factors. And as you change those, you'll be able to see dynamically what the result, like how it affects their payments, their total P&I, and all of those factors.
Can you guys see the screen okay?
So
I know it's
a printout of
small.
Each, I also give you
a hard copy.
A hard
I think
copy.
Most of you
yes.
would have one in front of you if you,
yeah.
And that's helpful too, Allie, when you.
So over
increase
so
that.
The traditional like breakdowns that you have looked at as a board is 50% or 100% loan, 0% grant, 75%, 25, 50, 50, 25, 75. So I've got a summary here of each of those. And then this is a custom scenario. So you can put in whatever percentage of loan that you want to see, and that will carry throughout the workbook and the other tabs. Also, Sky mentioned that maybe it would be helpful. Sometimes you want to look at a specific dollar amount rather than and you don't know what the corresponding percentage is. So just to make it easier for you, you can put in any dollar amount here and then get your percentage and then put that in over here. So hopefully that will help give you the information just on the fly.
The idea would be that everybody during the meeting would have this in front of them on their laptop, and so as the discussion is going forth, you can plug in your own scenarios, and that way you're never having to look on your calculator or have somebody quickly do the calculation on how a lower grant amount but a lower interest rate on the loan would affect the original request. You'd just be able to have everything right at your fingertips.
Okay. Towards the bottom of this page are the financial analysis inputs that you have traditionally used, so those are still in here. The next tab I actually think is very useful. I just called it What If, and this is intended to be a little bit more information. So you'll see in this column right here, we have the requested amount, what they did in their application. And then I have this custom where you come over here and choose what you want to see for the custom amount. And then you can see the comparison of what the difference is between what your custom scenario is and what they requested. I'm not sure if that would be helpful for you. I thought it would be helpful just to see a comparison, give you a quick little viewpoint of that. And then below, just because graphs are sometimes fun, just to compare, like, this is just a graphical comparison of the requested and the custom scenarios. And again, we put that percentage calculator tool in there because sometimes percentages get tricky. Any questions so far on these custom scenarios?
I had one question on the financial analysis inputs. Could you have Magi on there?
Actually, I have a tab in here of Magi. So we do have the median household income, and we're going to get to the last tab of the workbook is the Magi
data. It's a great question, and we'll get there. Thanks, Greg.
So we could put it, I guess, on this, but it's already going to be pulled from there. Okay, the next, this is from your existing model. So it's the applicant financial indicators, just down below. I just made the table a little more streamlined. So you'll get the requested amount and these. And maybe if it's helpful, I guess I could put the custom amount there as well. But this is everything that you've already seen. Okay, as is this, you use this quite a bit. We added the custom scenario. Whatever you choose for that custom scenario on the inputs tab will come in here. So you'll be able to see these various interest rates and terms summarized for the custom scenario as well. And, of course, that will just change as you change the input on the first tab. Same thing on the net return to CIB. The custom scenario has been added, so that should give you a quick snapshot. The financial calculations, the same that you had before. These are the indicators that a lot of these are often used by rating agencies to look at the financial health of an issuer. So we left that in. We'll discuss that a little bit more in a moment after we go through these other tabs, because we have some thoughts on how to use those indicators. The next tab is just the amortization schedule. So this is very dynamic. So it's pulling from the first tab, but you'll see if you changed it to like a 10-year schedule, this will change to 10 years and so forth. So that simplified that process a lot. And I don't know that you need to look at this, but this obviously calculates your payments.
Excuse me. Do you have a scenario in there? There's been three or four projects that we've suspended or suspended the payment for like 2 years or three years. Is there a deferred?
I can definitely add that.
So that we have, so we can actually see
what it does
when we make that motion.
Sure.
Yeah, it still accrues interest, but to see what it does if you defer the first 2 years or the first 3 years of payments, what does that do to the final 20 payments or 17 payments?
That's great. I'll add that to the first tab as an option to say how long you're going to defer in year.
Yeah.
Year in, is it 6 months or in year?
It'll be years.
Okay.
Annual, right,
yes.
Candace?
We do annual payments. Okay. But also, there's two revenue sources that need to be kept in mind. If you do a BNC road fund and you have deferred the first payments for 2 or 3 years, it still has to be paid off 10 years from the loan.
Right,
closing.
Right.
So the payments get bigger and it has to be paid off. So.
Okay, so it would be 2 years deferred, but it's still only a 10-year total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if they pledge mineral lease, it's maximum term for it from the time of loan closing is 15 years. It has to be paid off in 15 years. So you defer a first payment, you make bigger payments. Because it has to be paid off.
Yeah.
Other revenue sources, they're not so picky, but if you do a 30-year term, you defer it for 3 years, it still has to be paid off in 30 years.
Yeah. Then it becomes a 27-year amortization plus interest for 3 years.
Right.
Added to the amortization.
Okay. Yes, that is relatively easy to add to the model.
Okay.
So on the inputs tab, we'll have an option for how long you're choosing to defer, and that will trickle. And assuming... Would you want to see comparisons of if you said 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, or would it just be sufficient to just say?
I think we can input it at the time. If there's just a spot to put 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, and then it'll calculate through it, or zero will calculate a regular amortization.
Great. And so that is going to go the way I'm thinking about it right now is whatever you choose will apply to all of the scenarios. And is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if you have zero, it won't have an effect.
Right.
You don't have that cell failed, it won't affect the calculation.
Exactly. Okay, yep, that's an easy
thank
to
you.
Add.
And we would only need a maximum deferral of about three years.
So maybe we'll do
But if it's a formula, X equals whatever, 1, 0, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, I can just do a drop-down box so you're constrained to 1, 2, and 3, so it can't go beyond
that's
that.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Have we done anything longer ever?
No. We've done very few. Yeah.
Kick the can down the road for.
I think 5 years have been the maximum we've heard at looking at their payment schedule.
That's what we have done.
Right.
Yeah.
5 years have been maximum, but it's just very rare and hasn't been done for years and years.
So maybe we'll just
it would have to be a pretty.
Put a drop down for five, but I don't think five will ever be used.
Okay. That's an easy
addition. It's a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, 5 years.
You don't know how creative these board members can
be. I'm learning.
That's great. So if you select that, then of course we will have a summary that shows what the interest-only portion will be for those years, and then your payments thereafter. So
okay,
we'll
thank
fill
you.
That in. Yep.
Allison, question. Can you create a button that Commissioner Adams pushes after he votes to approve the loan before Greg offers substitute motion?
Ignore that. Ignore that.
I've only been to a few of these meetings, so I'm starting to...
Call it the Bruce button.
Yeah, make it a Bruce button, huh?
If you're going to have a Bruce button, you got to have a Greg button.
Fair is fair.
Okay, I'm gonna come. Well, let's talk about the coverage tables. The stuff we've gone over so far is what was in your existing model, just tweaked a little bit and made a little bit more dynamic for you. And any more suggestions, feel free to send them my way. I think it's really fun to add things to models. So.
So this will be interactive in our iLegislate program then.
It will be interactive. Yeah. That was that your question?
It'll be a separate program. It won't be in iLegislate.
Oh. Right.
Correct?
No.
Yeah.
It will hook right into iLegislate. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Is that the is that a request?
I think so.
That was his question.
User friendly to the point where you can play with it.
Well, I thought perhaps I could mail it to you in an email and you could put it on your computer because it's faster. But we could put it in iLegislate. It's just that some of you have problems getting in.
Do you have pictures?
Hey, I would just soon have. I'm sorry.
Within iLegislate, will it function as we're speaking?
Candace?
Yeah, so we want to make sure, Candace, it's populated with all the data for each application. So we'd want to attach it into each application.
Fact.
And then, yes, we'd want to kind of live so that any board member, like it's a downloadable document that they could just start playing around with it, even during the meeting. So
right.
That's what I'm hearing we want.
Yes.
So
I would like...
Correct.
We will attach it to each application. And if there is an issue with that, then it doesn't seem to function as it should because we'll play with it, then...
Then we'll give you one document with a bunch of tabs.
Yeah, that's right.
Jonathan, I would like that emailed so that it can be a separate item on the desktop as well. So you
that would have been my preference.
Work on it totally separate out of iLegislate.
Yep.
One thing that, well, I don't know, maybe this would be not helpful, but it would not be difficult at all to have all of the information in one, and you just pick a drop down for who you want to see, and it populates it. And I don't know if that would be helpful or not.
That would be very helpful on the one we email out for sure.
Yeah.
On the one we email out, we could perhaps do. Did you say tabs for each
not
one?
Not necessarily. We would have a tab with the data that I could work with you to make it really simple for the staff, so it's not any. You know, extra work, but then you would pick like a drop-down box of, let's see, I don't know, Vernal City or whatever, and the information would come up, and then you pick a different one, and it would come up. So it would be, it would
automatically populate.
Yeah.
The sales.
Yeah.
So each applicant
for the
November meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that would be pretty easy to put together, and shouldn't be any more work for the staff if we do it in an efficient way.
Okay. So.
If that's an option.
One real quick, I was just going to mention, Sky reminded us that a lot of the board uses iPads. And so, Allie, I guess we just have to figure out how that would work with iPads the same way it would with a laptop. We want to make sure that everybody has access to it. So.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, do they have Excel on their iPad?
Are you able to on an iPad? I'm not sure.
Yeah, if they have the Excel.
You can do Excel.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll have to play with that. Why don't you get me an
it's
iPad?
It's just small.
Okay, we'll do some testing. And
and we'll
see
get
what,
readers,
see what we can come
reading
up
glasses
with.
To go with it.
Hey, Candace, I may not be utilizing iLegislate correctly, but can you open up more than one tab at once?
Oh, sure.
Okay, I got to figure it out because it was going back and forth because that was problematic.
You need a new computer.
I need a new computer.
No, you need a new Greg.
Okay, please continue.
Okay. So let's go back to the financial indicators. I met with the, let me find where it is. I should also put a little table of contents here. Financial calculations. No, we'll go to the finance summary. In talking with my colleagues, the bankers who are doing this stuff day in and day out, we were looking at these financial indicators, and some of the points have already come up today in the meeting, that sometimes past performance isn't a great indicator of future. So, and just one thing, the first thing is that this is a one snapshot in time. You're just taking, like when we work with the rating agencies, they always require 3 to 5 years of historical, so you can see any kind of trends that are going. And then also a projection of future. Like, for example, if you were to give someone a loan for something, like how would that affect their operating expenses going forward? How would that affect, those things? So you can see what would happen to those ratios projected with your best assumptions that you can make. Exactly. Like, it's hard to. There are some things you can know, though. Even if you hold it steady going forward, once you add the debt in, what does that do to those ratios? And there are some things you probably know are not going to be steady going forward. For example, operating expenses. If you do take on a project that's going to increase those expenses, so I don't know if that's something that is feasible for the staff to do. That's just, and maybe Alex can speak to this a little bit, what we typically see in looking at these ratios.
Well, and I think Allison explained it well. I think the review process is in its current state, just as she mentioned, shows kind of a snapshot of where things are at for a municipality in the current situation. But I don't believe there's enough, perhaps either in the application or what we might be able to help put together as part of this spreadsheet system to show future growth, future revenues, future expenses. We've got a coverage table tab that we can look at here in a minute, but which is helpful. But even the coverage table generally just shows what the current revenues are and doesn't always project out how things will look in the future. So it's one thing to approve a loan or a grant or a loan-grant mix based on what the entity is, the situation they're currently in, but I think it would be advisable to take a look at the next 5, even 10 years as this loan is on their books to make sure that they're able to repay it. And so that's something that's a deficiency right now, I think, that the current way of doing things has that maybe we can improve upon.
And that would just be a decision of how much. I mean, there's so many factors, like she said, you don't have a crystal ball, but even if you held everything constant going forward, you could at least look at the impact of the debt on those ratios for the next 5 years.
So do we have a budget to send us to school for 6 months?
No, so that's why that might not be feasible. Just wanted to highlight that looking at a snapshot of time, like just as long as you understand that that's the weakness of the snapshot.
We're hoping that when the applicant comes before us, that they've done their homework.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what
their own
say.
People, but their own experts and financed by the management.
But
we only have 1 hour, 2 hours to figure out what we're here for.
I was actually surprised that the staff, as I was being educated, does this, and I don't have, I don't know what the process is, but maybe having the applicant provide more of that information would help them to be a little bit more aware of their own financial situation, maybe. But that's just a thought. I mean, you can keep doing it this way. That's fine. We just wanted to highlight that.
Well, I think that by law, you can only commit to the revenue that you know you have coming in. So
that's
to
right.
do projections and that is just a myth, because you can't spend money that you don't know you have coming in. So
right. Well,
for what we're doing right now,
yeah.
this works really great.
Right.
I mean, it's good to speculate, or
yeah.
we know that there's going to be growth, but again, you can't anticipate, well, you're going to be able to afford this, so
mm-hmm.
your payments are going to be X,
right.
you can't do
There wouldn't
that.
Be any assumptions, I suppose, like, that's true. Even if you hold it constant, you don't know, your revenues actually could decrease in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
you're guaranteed the same tax rate as you were the previous year.
So if it's something that's based on, but like user rates, you don't know what's going to happen to
those. The projections, like Ron mentioned, you know, they're an estimate. They're in some ways a guess, but you can look back over a prior five-year period and see trends. And if it's constant, if, you know, if it's an increase in revenues 3% every year, generally you can make a pretty good assumption that the next, you know, 5 years ahead will also have 3% increases. And, but you're right. There's a lot. There's some assumptions that have to be made and some guesses on
there
are,
of
cases.
And a lot of the assessors will do new growth, but the entities don't see new growth anymore. They took that away. So that was an indicator you could see where your growth was as a pattern, like you're saying, you know, 3 to 5 years. You could look back and say, okay, this is it. But right now there's different hot spots in the state. There's some that are growing at 29-30%, and then there's others. They're lucky if they see 1%.
Going negative.
Or they're going the other way.
Yeah. So if you're spending money because you've got this big growth, you're going to get to the point where you're not going to have growth. And you've already spent money anticipating that continuation. So I think the way we're doing just the known factors is the best way to go.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, I think there is some value in seeing the historical, just seeing some trends. But that's...
Ron, you might have the same tax rate, but the values might go down.
That's right.
True.
Right.
So, but you're still guaranteed that money.
With the same tax rate, you're not going to make as much money.
Yeah.
And then commissioners decide whether they're going to capture new growth in June every year.
If you want to stay level,
With the certified rate, or you can go with the revenue you collected last year, or you can go with something different. So there is a lot of variables.
Yeah.
And trying to look at what's going to happen in the future because of those factors alone.
But your revenue will always stay the same as far as, you know, the tax rate may fluctuate, but you're going to have the same amount of money come in year after year.
No, you won't if your values go down.
If you do a truth in taxation is the only way.
Right.
Yeah.
Truth in taxation. But if the values go down.
I know.
Then you're still staying level. You're not capturing new growth when the rate goes down.
I want to know how many commissioners in here are in favor of raising taxes.
If you do a truth in taxation, you'll stay level. But if you
won't be
if your evaluation goes down, you're not going to stay level. I think we need to stick with what's on the books, not projecting anything future.
I think it is a handy tool, even especially as we look at our mineral lease stuff. We know what's on the books, what's done. But I don't think it's bad to see the trend information as long as we recognize it only as trend.
Yeah.
It's not something we're making a decision, but it can create questions that help us be more attentive.
But then the applicant has to the applicant actually has to do enough work to submit that information.
Thank you.
And I think it will be helpful, too, if it's a project that might be a sales tax revenue bond, for example, or a water or a sewer project where you've got specific revenues that are collateralized or used as the security behind the bond. That's where you're able to project out and see those revenues, you know, estimation of if you're going to be able to cover the debt as well as the 1.25 times requirement that the CIB has. And so I think in those cases with those types of bonds, enterprise fund, sales tax, and the like, I think a projected look, a pro forma would be helpful.
Do you know what he's referring to about the 1.25% coverage that CIB requires? Good. Anybody
Allison's
need
highlighted it there. Yeah.
Oh, well,
enlarge that if you would.
Go ahead, Kenneth, and I'll talk about
that. Yeah, the required coverage is that you have to have an annual payment. You have to be able to make that annual payment with a buffer of 25% beyond what you're spending, what they are spending. So when you close a loan, because we issue bonds, you have to have that. You have to have the ability of revenue coming in of 100% to make the payment plus 25%. So 125% of an annual payment on any loans that are made by this board, that's the revenue we're looking at.
And
Where does that go, or how does that?
That's just accounted for at the time of creating the bond documents and doing the issuance of bonds. You don't have to do that, but it's up here, and she's going to talk about that 125. Keep that in mind. So if they have 110% of an annual payment for a loan that you want to offer them, they can't make the required coverage, the buffer that they need to make.
So what happens now, Candace, correct me if I'm wrong, is typically a sales tax bond or a water or sewer type bond would get approved by the board, and then after the fact, before the bond closes, a coverage table would be created either by the entity or by the entity's municipal advisor like Zions, and we would make sure that 125 is covered, as well as any other additional bonds tests in prior bonds that have been issued under the same indenture. Sometimes there's a 2x additional bonds test where you can't dip below 200% of what the revenue is coming in. So all those things take place and are provided to Bill Prater and to Candace. And before we close, it might be an idea, a good idea, to have the applicant provide that as part of the initial process before you even approve that type of financing. I don't know what you're... No? Maybe not.
But that's something the applicant has to do after we approve the terms. Then
they can come back and you can...
Right. But if they can't, you don't close the loan, you don't close the bond, then they have to come back and change the term to where they can afford it and meet that 125 or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
This really has not been an issue, so we don't want to create a huge new process for something that hasn't come up.
I just put some coverage tables in here that the staff can use if they want. They can help them calculate, and it will be conditionally formatted to let them know if it's below 1.25. So the last tool that I added to this in discussions with my colleagues when they do water and sewer bonds, they use the MAGI from the Division of Drinking Water, and so I've pulled the MAGI data for all of the cities in Utah and have this little table here that you could use to look at what percentage of MAGI their either their water or their sewer annual or monthly rates, what percentage of MAGI it makes up. So this is
how often is that MAGI recalculated by Division of?
I think it's every year, but it lags.
Is it
every year, Alex? I think it's every year, but it lags. So this is the most recent, 2017.
From our folks from
You're right, because we've got
drinking water, so
17 information.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're here. Okay. So this is just intended. You just pick the drop down, pick the city that you want, and then it will fill up. And then pick if you know the monthly or the annual rate for the city. You can put it in here, and it will tell you what the percentage of MAGI is and like we'll just put a ridiculous number in here, like 1,000 monthly. That's obviously crazy, but it'll be
read. More updated than the 2017 MAGI. If you calculate your.
So that's just calculating if you put in what the monthly, what the average water bill or the sewer bill is, and then it's going to look at the 2017 data and tell you what percentage it is.
So it's still based on 2017?
Yeah, it's still based on 2017 data, and it will just let you know, okay, like, well, they've got plenty of room there to raise rates, or no, they're already really close to that 1.75 or over it, so they probably don't have room to raise rates, or however you want to use that data. Those are the things we've added, and any suggestions we'll incorporate.
Well, we certainly appreciate Allison. She's very good at this, and Alex, and his team. So we'll go ahead and make some of these recommendations and then be able to get a draft out to you. And again, this is for the board's use, so you can use what makes sense for you. If it doesn't, then don't. But it's, you know, its sole purpose is to help you make better informed decisions and to be able to do that on the fly as well and pull it up during the meeting. Since we all have things electronically now, we all have the computers, you can play around with things before the meeting, during the meeting, as well. So, thank you very much, Designs.
Thank you.
good partners.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great.
Keith, you hurt our feelings to assume we don't make informed decisions.
We do.
Okay, our next item is to talk about the survey results. So thank you all for filling out that wonderful survey tool and giving us information to look at. I think Paul's going to come up and discuss that. We're going to pull it up, the results overhead, and just kind of review this and decide where we go from here based on these survey results.
So I've asked Paul, who helped design the survey. He's got some expertise in surveying, and kind of explain what the intent was. Our intent in doing the presentation is to not necessarily make evaluations, but just to help understand what the question really meant and what the responses are kind of saying. It's up to you as a board to really interpret those and put them to work. So I appreciate Paul's work on this, and we'll turn that over to him.
Great, thanks. First off, thank you to the board. I know you have a lot of difficult decisions and discussions.
I see there's 9 responses, so we have 2 people that...
What happened?
Well, was this anonymous or not?
Well, so. Yeah, it was anonymous. There's also 2 people not present today, so we can just blame it on them maybe if you want to. Officially, no. Anyway, so I just want to say this is just part of the discussion. This is just going to raise flags for discussion and to show where there's not consensus, and just kind of get our creative juices flowing with regards to these topics. So, like Jonathan said, it was anonymous, so we don't know who didn't fill it out. But there were 9 responses. So I guess I'll just go through this, if that's okay. So we first asked the question about how you currently make decisions. There's specific items in UCA 35A8307 that talk about making decisions relative to eligibility, yes, in determining the eligibility for loans and grants under this part. So the breakdown, as you can see.
Dark and light, will you just explain how it is?
Yeah. How I laid it out. So the dark blue on the right is, you can see on the bottom here, maybe. Well, no, but it's very important. Those who said it was very important. Lighter blue is just important. Neutral was that lighter brownish orange. And then as it gets darker, it gets less important.
So in terms of percentages, so just so I'm reading it, just so I'm reading it correctly, 11% out of 9 is
1 board member.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, again, the percentages, you're going to see that. I just want to restate that it's really about that there's not consensus maybe, or that there is a question, and so there could be discussion around any of these points if there are things like that.
And on this one, it was what's important to you in looking at an application. You know?
Yeah. Individual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know what? I never give that any consideration. It's not important to me. So.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't meant to be critical, just to understand the numbers.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, if you could see, this up there. I don't know if I need to read it to everybody, but
no.
You can just kind of go through this. I don't know if this was included in the packet, but if not, we can definitely send this out to everyone so they can read through it. Okay.
So, Paul, in general, as you look at that, the information, I assume the questions are basically based on the packet that we have right now, or some of the information. And so it's saying that the majority of the information that's provided is used by the reviewers.
Except some exceptions.
Yeah, the next question goes more to the information side of things. This was in your own deliberative processes individually, how you make decisions, I think, is what this is getting more at. The next question actually interfaces with this one. I might just jump to that if I can. Slowly.
Hey, so, but wait.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. I'll go back and forth between these two.
Those last 2 questions are pretty interesting as far as our distribution.
Yeah.
So that 44% don't consider it important that the discuss or thinking about the applicant's borrowing capacity when they make decisions.
And then the,
same thing on the production. Mineral lease production. And I think what makes this more interesting for me is the next question relating to this one, which is, do you have sufficient information to make decisions on these criteria? And I mean, I can show this really quick. There were some that, that people had, again, concerns, not necessarily that they don't have it totally, but that they said it was, you know, somewhat that we didn't have enough information on a lot of those. I think the contrasting these two questions together, what kind of came out for me, and I should have probably put this more in here, is that on several of the criteria that people consider important for making decisions, they actually didn't have very good data, possibly, or at least there were some concerns. And the same thing goes for those that have the some of the least important as far as making decisions. There were actually the best information available. So, case in point, applicant borrow capacity, like you were talking about, Greg, and applicant mineral lease production, those were at the bottom of the importance criteria, but we actually have the best information for those things. And then inversely, let's see.
What was on the bottom?
Here we go.
Which one?
So these bottom two, applicant borrowing capacity and applicant mineral lease production?
It showed the most.
We have the best, at least according to the board or the respondents, you have the, you feel like you have enough information to make those decisions,
yes.
Or decisions based on those criteria, and yet those were actually the least important.
I would not go to least important. It shows the greatest dichotomy. Yeah.
That's true.
I think that's good. An inappropriate use of the
word. Interpolate, okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. But at least, again, that there is less.
For some people, it was less important than less others. Important. I think that's the way to characterize it when we look at all these criteria. And this is just, again, these are the survey results of the board. So
yeah.
The real discussion is where do we go from here, knowing kind of this information as we review it.
So again, according to the code, I mean, these all should be used when making decisions.
Correct.
So there is nothing that is that you can discard. Okay, go through it down here.
It's not good when the Attorney General chuckles.
But case in point, today, like that's bottom one, the industry participation. So question got asked of you in a special fire. Special Service District about oil producers participating in the costs. You know, that's something we ask a question, a specific question about. It's not something that comes in on the application that you have that information in front of you. It's something we have to probe a little bit on the app, you know, with the applicant. So that we don't have a lot of like standard information on that. That's something we have to just kind of ask of our applicants. So it's important to some people to know that. It's more important to some than others, but it's something we don't have a lot of standard information on. We
no,
just
I
have to ask
the
it.
The difference between those questions in terms of the information available, which is the weight that they put on it in their decision making.
Okay. Right, and I'll just reinforce what Paul said. You are required to consider all of those items. You have broad discretion in the weight or the importance you place on each of those. Mm-hmm. There's no specific direction as to, and there's no ranking, but. Mm-hmm. You are required to consider all 10 items.
Is there any penalty if we're just incompetent because of age?
Yes.
Perhaps.
Okay, like Jonathan said, where do we go from here? I think on this question, there might be some further action on do we need to find out how to get more information on these topics so we can make better decisions. That's, and then also balancing, you know, the need for that information with the, I guess, burden to collect that information from either the applicants or from other sources. Okay, I'll move on. So a couple questions here. So should the board, not the applicant, determine the loan grant mix on all applications? And again, there wasn't total consensus, but pretty close. And what that means, I think, that might be different for different people.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Interpretation of the question with any of these is always an issue.
Absolutely. I think that, again, opens up an opportunity for discussion, though, where even people who say yes on that might mean two different things. So just because everyone or majority said yes on any given question, you can't.
I mean, the board obviously is going to make the decision based on it. It could also be read that should they come with their mix and then have the discussion.
You know, your mic's off again, Jet.
Oh,
I just leave mine on.
Well, Candace, yeah, it is on.
Oh, you turned it on. Oh, I thought he shut it off because you didn't like what he was saying.
Okay, continue, Paul. We need to get through this discussion. Yeah. So,
another opportunity for discussion. Should the board use an officially established criteria to structure funding packages? I think that's one of the cruxes of this, of where we're trying to head with this. And while there's a majority who said yes, there's also a pretty good chunk that said they were unsure. Or didn't.
Well, we have established criteria in one sense, the code, that says you'll apply these.
Well, it doesn't structure the funding package.
Exactly.
It's just those are things that we consider, but
for eligibility.
Yeah.
In terms of a cookbook for it. And
right.
Thank you.
Can we go back to that last pie and the questions? A little bit what, like Jack was saying, you know, when you say should the board determine the loan grant mix, is it the board or, you know, the staff when they're...
Well, the board would set the criteria. The staff would populate whatever criteria you wanted to set as important, or you guys set the policy... We set the policy. Staff would just populate the data, and it would spit out a structured funding package. Here's all the criteria and how the board weights it. Staff inputs all the information. Here's the grant loan mix. That's a very structured funding package. Obviously, I think we're going to get in the discussion about whether we want to have it that strict or whether we want to have it super flexible or somewhere in between, and how do we build that tool. That's really what the discussion will get to.
Where would you describe we're at right now in that scenario you just presented?
I say we're very on the flexible side, but I would say that most of our decisions are pretty consistent too. But they're probably based more on like three of those criteria than all of those criteria that kind of get us into the consistency. So depending on how you look at it, any one application can probably, I mean, we had one come in and get all grant today, you know, and probably had some ability to take loans. So is every applicant that we look at like that getting the same funding from the board? I don't think so. I think overall we have some consistency if you looked at a real macro level, but...
But is every applicant fit into the same slot in terms of their production and everything else?
Right.
So
yes, and that's why, you know, the need for flexibility as opposed to having it really tightly structured, but also having some consistency. It's just, I'd say we're fairly consistent, but not certainly not perfectly structured. So we have a lot of flexibility.
No, I that was just my curiosity. It wasn't pointed in any form. Thank you.
Yeah.
Question, Mr. Chairman, or the comments rather.
Yeah.
We also need to be consistent on the seasons. We have fire seasons. We have flood seasons. We have the snow seasons. In 1 year, Commissioner Adams couldn't even get out of his community because of a lot of snow. So in our discretion, we cannot be put in the box.
In terms of the exigencies that may
right, because one community come before us and he didn't have anything to do. For example, that the year that we had Bryanhead, was fires burning in Bryanhead, but Panguitch was affected by watershed problem because the ash is coming down. Mm-hmm. They didn't want it to come before us. They didn't have to anywhere go. They couldn't sue Bryanhead for the reimbursement of the watershed problem. So we have to be flexible, not being to put the box there, okay, this is not part of that criteria.
Recognizing that there can be exigent circumstances.
Yes. Thank you.
I think this next question.
It's right there.
So this is,
I will speak into my microphone more better.
The next question talks about, it's one of the, I think, central questions that we were just discussing, is flexibility. And I would say it's not flexibility and inflexibility, it's flexibility and predictability. From an applicant standpoint, they want to be able to know with some assurance that when they come in, they're going to get the same treatment, you know, consistently over and over again.
Unless they're number nine.
Unless they're number nine. I know talking to some applicants, they're nervous that, you know, what's going to happen this time? You know, are we going to be able to get the right terms and things? And it's just to be able to have that. There's a balance. There has to be a balance between those two things. So this is an opportunity for, again, discussion like we were just having. About a third are on leaning towards the predictable side. But even in their comments, they were talking about flexibility. So I put down all the comments that were stated. And you can read that at your leisure, I think. But like I said, a lot of the predictability, we're still advocating for some flexibility. So I don't think anyone is wants a very firm box to put things in and process through.
May I make a comment to that? One of the...
In your mic.
I hope I'm speaking into it. Predictability, there's some value in having a little bit of edge and not being too predictable in one sense. We have things that change. We don't know what our mineral lease is going to be coming in. And we've been pretty consistent that people know it is not the same board as it was 6 years ago, for instance, or seven, in terms of its behavior with, maybe it's still, I don't want to sound that there weren't thresholds, but we've had to tighten them up in terms, and I think we've done it, hopefully it shows in the numbers, that we're pushing people into other things, and they should be able to predict that they're going to come in and get some scrutiny if they're asking for straight loan, or without money in the game, or that there's a grant with a loan mix. If they're asking for straight grant, pardon me if I misspoke. So I don't know the answers, but I see the need.
So this question is more going to...
Speak into your microphone, Candace.
she likes to have a lot of whisper conversations. We're having some conversations about this. Go ahead, Paul.
I think this next question talks to the complexity that the board may want if we do some sort of structured criteria. And it seems like the majority of people wanted more criteria. And by criteria, I mean, we have the eligibility criteria, which is stated in the statute. But I think to be able to structure the loan grant mix, there can be, I don't know if I want to say separate criteria, but those that are more focused on that side of things.
If supported, how many criteria?
Sorry.
We have to consider.
So we have that big list of things that
we have
to consider.
Yeah.
Again, that's really just part of the eligibility review. So the consideration is on whether they get, you know, more grant or better loan terms. What other do we want to focus that criteria more on, a few specific items or a lot? And most people are saying the more the better is what we're kind of hearing.
Yeah, again, funding criteria, funding package criteria, I guess. And this was just running along if people oppose or support any specific criteria or have any concerns, I think, with this criteria. And overwhelmingly, all of them were supported to use. So again, generally leaning towards more criteria and generally open towards all criteria, all criteria being on the table. Oh, and then the rest is just the comments. So...
So you'll all get this emailed out to you so that you have the results in front of you. And really the discussion is, where do we go from here? I think one thing we seem to be coalescing around is we wanted, when we received or when applicants applied, that they needed to consider a standard grant loan mix that they need to discuss with their communities, that needed to be part of the public conversation. Doesn't mean that's what this board would decide necessarily, but we would want them to have a better clarity on what they would be talking about in their community as far as grant and loan terms, so that, you know, a town's not coming and saying, hey, we're just going to apply for all grants. That's what we talked to our community about, so we really haven't discussed loan. We can't take loan. You know, we don't want that conversation to happen. We want them to probably err on the side of talking about more loan with the community, and then we come in and have a conversation but still have that flexibility. So at a minimum, I think it'd be a good idea to get some criteria out to our applicants based on this information that says, you know, for what you're applying for and these criteria that we consider important, how important, here's what you need to do. So our next step is really deciding, you know, of all this information, how we would weight something like that and provide that tool out to the community to use. And if we're going to use a lot of criteria, we probably need to, if some is more important than other, we probably need to decide how much more important. If mineral lease production is twice as important as applicant borrowing capability, then those are things that we probably need to decide. And that's something that we can do at a subsequent meeting, but that's kind of the direction I see us going, is, you know, putting at least some more standard information into the hands of applicants so that we get more consistency in what's applied to us, and then we can certainly take a look at all those factors and still have flexibility, or we can decide how much we really want to, you know, shift within those parameters.
So I have a couple questions. One is, if the staff were given the same questionnaire, how well reflected, how does it compare to what the board did? Or was the staff included in it? If not, I would be curious to know that, just to understand that whether there's consistency or not at this stage, or not at the risk of driving the questionnaire, but understanding that difference, where staff sees us or sees themselves or where they want us to be. And the other part is, I get a little, there's some value in that flexibility. I do not disagree with anything you said in terms of helping our applicants be well informed. At the same time, I don't want to set us up for liability in the same sense if the board decides to be a little bit different than what the criteria, depending on how tight it gets, that if for whatever reasons the justifications are less defendable, maybe is the, do you know what I'm saying, Allison, in terms of, I mean, I don't want to say that we would do anything illegal, because it's not the intention, but this, right. But at the same time, that flexibility gives us some comfort, maybe, in terms of how tightly we're held to our decisions, and if they're appealed or whatever, if there's other issues that come about. I don't want to tighten us up to the point that, unless you do, that we don't need the board, other than to say, yep, okay.
Well, you always need the board to set the criteria, even if you had a strict funding criteria. And we do this all the time on other boards, and this happens in boards across the state, where you do set the policy, the parameters, and then it gets populated. So that could be a function of the board. Certainly, the more flexibility you want to preserve, I don't disagree with that. I think that's a good thing. I think we want to avoid, I think, at a minimum, we want to avoid communities coming in unprepared to have the conversation about how much loan they can take, because we have a real responsibility on the loan side. And oftentimes, I think gathering the conversation, we have felt consistently as a board that there have been many communities that have come in that have not had that level of conversation. So,
okay.
And not their fault. We haven't really forced that issue to have that conversation. So that is something that we could apply some more consistency there and probably have more of a conversation around the funding structure better than what we have right now. I think that may be an end result of this.
And I think the succinct way of saying what I'm sure we want to avoid is that there's any color or anything that would even smell like being arbitrary or capricious. So, and I'm getting, I think, a healthy nod, not a giggle or anything from Allison in that this is helpful to get us further into avoiding that argument.
Please. Right. The standard by which you're judged is whether your decision is arbitrary and capricious. And as I said before, the board has very broad discretion under the statute. You have 10 eligibility criteria and some other factors you must consider. And as a board, you can elect to maybe constrain that discretion a bit through a rule or broaden your discretion a bit through a rule, if that's what the board wants to do. You have made rules for yourselves, which you should be following. I think you do follow them. You could create more rules to perhaps create more predictability for applicants if that's what you want to do. You, like I said, you have pretty broad discretion available to you right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and Jonathan, I think you answered part of my question with the staff part of it in terms of whether we whether those two, if it were given or maybe it was separately, whether or not the staff and the board are consistent with seeing the same needs or wanting the same things or not, and if it creates a discussion that we still need to have.
So,
because the board, pardon me, I'm going to interrupt just a little bit more. The board, informally, I think, has done a tremendous, or the staff informally has done a tremendous job at trying to anticipate the board a little bit with applicants to say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. It hasn't been formalized other than what we're trying to do now to get more of that in rather than guessing. So I'm thanking the staff for that, but I just wonder how consistent our thoughts are.
So I think what we could ask the staff is, I mean, the staff's job is to take all the criteria and make sure that information is provided to the board. So that's really what they're working on with every application that comes in, to make sure all those elements are complete and they're available for review. You know, and that's the extent of it. It's just making sure all the information's there. And certainly, when it comes to the public meeting and whether applicants are prepared to come in and talk about loans, that's certainly a discussion that happens, because that is anticipating what the conversation will be at the board level. So I guess if you want us to ask staff a few questions, email them to me, and I'll survey the staff on particular items.
Well, and I don't want to waste anybody's time. Maybe that's not important, but I think the practical aspect of how we work together does, I'd like to give them that opportunity to educate us in that form of where they see the values in those.
Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I think I'm going to disagree with Jack. I'm not sure how important it is to me how the staff feels about these questions. Okay. I think the staff's job is to prepare the information to give it to the board. I think the board's responsibility is make the decision. And I don't know that that's going to be helpful to us, is how you feel about us, because I know you don't like me.
I'm a board member, so.
Okay. All right. So the flexibility, in my opinion, needs to be, there is such a wide variety in needs and capability of communities in this state. I don't know how you can say, this is the box we've created, now all of you guys have to fit into this box. Because you can't. You can't get everybody in that same box. You got some communities, little tiny communities, that have no businesses in them. They have no way to create taxes. You got some communities that have a lot of businesses that can produce a lot of revenue. And you know, it was kind of my feeling at one time And I think the staff's been doing this. I think at one time we kind of said, you know, people ought to come in and at least consider a 50% grant and a 50% loan, you know, to start with. But that doesn't fit everybody. Not everybody can do that. And so I just don't want to, I don't want to tie our hands as a board to say, you know, this is the box everybody should fit in. We've got to have some freedom because I don't know the communities that Nagy lives around as well as I do the communities I live around. And having some personal knowledge about their capabilities, and, you know, I have mayors call me, I have citizens call me and lobby a little bit and give me some inside information on what their needs and their capabilities are. And, you know, you look at county like Garfield County and they have 96 or 97% federal property in that county, and that limits. I just got back from Washington, D.C., and the federal government pays taxes on the land that they own in the state of Utah. They own about 67% of the land in the state of Utah. They pay an average in the United States 33 cents an acre. In my county, we have a windfall. We get 54 cents an acre. You know, in Washington County, they get $2.75 an acre. Because the PILT formula is different, it takes into account population as well as acres. I'm just nervous about painting ourselves as a board into a corner where we don't have flexibility with communities that you know, have, for lack of a better word, special needs.
So
you know, I had students in school that had special needs.
Right.
We didn't paint them in the same box as the others. So I don't know. I
think what you'll see by the survey results is that most people feel like the board needs to have flexibility. I don't think what we're saying is we're going to try to create some tool that boxes the board into not being able to have flexibility in a funding decision. It was more placed at the applicant level. I recall an applicant, it must have been 3 years, I can't remember what county, so I'm not going to call them out, but they were very proud of the fact that they don't have debt in their county.
Garfield.
So, and that's great. That's a philosophy they carry, but, you know, just because their philosophy is we don't have debt in the county, does that mean they can come and because that's their philosophy, they don't get to take on any loan? That those are the types of things we want to have, you know, discussions. If Garfield County, I didn't mean to pick on them specifically, but if they were to come in and say we want this project, well, they should have an honest conversation with their citizens about how much they want it. Are they willing to take debt in their county to get that type of a project?
Jonathan, you got to remember, that's a county that comes in with a huge amount of cash on most of their projects, too, because they've saved up.
Right.
Because they don't want to go into debt. So they come with a lot of cash on their projects and hope that that offsets the requirement to borrow.
Sure. I don't disagree. We're trying to avoid those types of conversations where other people's philosophies eke into inconsistency from what the board discussion should be. And again, not saying the board doesn't have flexibility. I think we want flexibility. This is more on the applicant side, I think, is where there's more consensus to provide this to applicants. I mean, we've surveyed this information. I mean, the real question is where do we go from here, knowing where everybody sits on these issues? It looks like we want to have more criteria kind of be the rule of the day. And we still want flexibility as a board. Those are kind of two things that are pretty clear out of the survey results, which that's fine moving forward. Do we want to create this any type of tool for the applicants different than what they have right now in order to facilitate more consistent discussions around this.
Well, I support giving them all the information we can possibly give them to create the discussion in their county. But I'm telling you, if you have Paiute County come in here and they have no debt, they have no income. I mean, they're a little tiny county that is just full of federal land, and they have no businesses. And there's just no way they can afford to take any debt, but they have no income. That's a special circumstance.
Well, that's one of the standard criteria that we can say, hey, that's a really important factor that will make our decision better on whether you get a grant or loan. So we can put that into the applicant tool and say, hey, if you have $130,000 revenue as a city, like we heard today, right? Maybe it was $160,000. Like, that's very small for a community, no matter what the size, like to manage any type of debt needs or anything else. So we could say, hey, that's a really important factor. And so applicants, when you input your information and it's verified, it's going to spit out, this is what you can talk to your community about. And it may be that we consider that so important that that reduces, you know, the amount of loan that they would take or the interest rate that they would pay. I mean, it's up to us whether we want to decide if that's a really important factor. Borrowing capacity is like one of the number one factors for me, because I'm on the philosophy of we should always loan unless we can't. So that's one I want to see a lot more of. But, you know, not everybody feels that way as well. So I think we want to say what's those important factors and how important it is as part of this process.
Well, I think the board's been pretty judicious. We have more money coming in off of loans than we do production now, if I'm not mistaken.
That's from historical loans.
Okay.
Sometimes, but we've gotten a little more generous. I know people have talked about boards of years past, but it's been a little more generous. More grants have been given probably in the last 5 years than the 5 years previous. So those are things.
Well, I was on the 5 years previous, and all these new board members,
it's their fault. Yes.
Because I never try to give grants.
Second option.
Jonathan.
So was this provided at your request for us, or did we pursue it to have more this study?
We agreed we were going to just survey this information amongst board members. We had the discussion about all this criteria. What do we do with this information?
And this is what we're trying to
do. So now we've surveyed. Here's the results of the survey. I mean, I'm drawing a couple conclusions, but I don't want to move forward beyond where the board wants to go on this. That we want to have flexibility. I think that's pretty clear in the survey results, and that we want more criteria valued than like fewer criteria. We still haven't weighted the criteria or developed the tool yet. Those would kind of be next steps. And if you wanted to, and that would be an applicant tool, not necessarily the board's tool for decision making, but the applicant's tool for discussion purposes.
Exactly.
Chairman, I kind of agree with you totally on there. I'd like to see on the application where we have some of this criteria we're talking about, more criteria. What is your, not just say, can you take on a loan, but what criteria, this, can the possibility to take it on to help us get the flexibility as we loan money, if we can see whether an area, as Bruce is talking, doesn't have the revenue or the funds, and we do need to help them. They are struggling. Or if there's areas that are, I'm trying to eliminate the ones that come in, as it's set up on that comment, wanting the free money, that get that, you know, where we realize they could take on some loan or do something, but they know they come and plead their case, they're going to get it. So I think you're headed in the right, I totally agree with you, you're heading in the right direction.
So what we could do, not to belabor this discussion too much, but we could have staff kind of start to work on a tool that we could view in a subsequent board meeting and really decide if it would be more criteria. We'd probably still have some responsibility to weight it a little bit. And we'll try to take a look at it in the context of past actions of the board or prior history that will help inform, you know, what that should look like. But that's something we can do for a subsequent meeting, kind of taking these survey results.
Yeah.
Mr. Dalton.
The staff does a wonderful job, excellent job in the information that they receive from the applicant. But everybody that's made comment today, almost everybody, has said the applicant, the applicant, the applicant providing information. Are we jumping the gun a little bit of not setting our criteria as far as flexible or semi-flexible or whatever? But do we need to look at the application a little bit further or and modify the application so the information that we want to see or need to see and the staff needs to see is there in the applicant? You don't have people going back and, I mean, I'm not picking on them, but we had two applicants today that didn't submit a full application with the information we needed. Do we need to go back and reassess the application and see if there's more information we want to see in the application prior to the staff even formulating this and at the same time work on these four boxes that we've been working on? But do we need to go back to the application and see if there's more information that needs to be provided prior to really getting deep down into this flexibility, non-flexible deal? Maybe if we have that information, the problem is solved. I don't know.
That's a good point. And so I think for the next meeting, we can kind of highlight, we did highlight some areas where people felt like they didn't have enough information on that specific criteria. And we can look at, is that captured in our application or what changes could be made so we can get that type of information? We can probably bring that to the next meeting and say, here's how we'd propose to revise our application or collect this type of information in the future. We can definitely do that for next meeting.
I mean, you look at the minutes of this discussed. The staff should have the flexibility or the ability to send it back and say, you got to have another public hearing. You didn't discuss anything. Mm-hmm. In this, and I mean, you look at those minutes. I think it's been talked about by almost everybody in here. Your minutes are poor. The staff should have flexibility to send it back. If they don't provide financial information, the staff should be able to send it back. If these guys want the money, they need to go jump through the hoops to provide the information so that we can make a sound, informed decision.
Okay. Yes, Mayor Baker.
I'm just to add into that conversation, I think it would help for some of these, they never come before, so they don't even really know how the application's filled out. Some of them don't do. But I guess what I'm trying to say is if there ought to be something that says, this is how you should have your public meeting, or these are the things we require you to discuss, not what you should have, because you can't tell them how to have it. But these are the things that we request that you cover in your public hearing when they do it.
So this is cut. We do a training out there all throughout the state the time to do exactly
and
that.
I've been to those. So I do. But,
they don't listen to you.
No, but it doesn't get there.
But even if we gave them a form with the criteria that we know the answers are being discussed, we put more discussion into many of their projects than they've done in their minutes.
Yeah.
And that's backwards. If the minutes are, maybe not backwards, but it's certainly concerning to me. And even if we gave them the criteria on a form letter that says, you know, at least ask the question or bring it up, whatever, on those four. And maybe you do that already.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it may help fill that hole.
This form right here is in your Bible. It is also listed on the website. It's the program summary. Every applicant has this information. In the public hearing, it says the CIB requires all applicants to have a vigorous public participation effort. All applicants shall hold a formally noticed. And it goes on to tell them you discuss that you might be getting a loan, you might be getting a grant, and how many times have we sent it back to the applicant saying you did not discuss the possibility of a loan? So it is there.
Okay.
The applicant
I wasn't being critical.
No, I know you weren't.
Well, and just to be clear, it's not just in your it's in your rules as well. That is a rule requirement, the vigorous public participation effort. And we do flag some of those and send them back. But the level of discussion is a bit up to you all to decide if it's adequate. I mean, sometimes it's one sentence in the minutes. Sometimes the minutes reflect a very vigorous discussion. And if they have one sentence, that checks the box for staff. Then it's up to you and your discretion to determine whether that's adequate or not. But perhaps greater direction is something that you could require in your rules or even in a policy.
We can't put it all on the staff, no. And I expected to hear that.
Although we're pretty heavy-handed, believe it or not.
So, Allison, we would have the discretion if we came to this meeting and read the minutes, and we didn't feel like that they were substantial enough, we could motion to send them back, put it on the pending list, send them back, have another public hearing.
In fact, your rules say that as well.
And we haven't, not since I've been here, Jack, so I apologize for asking that question. But anyway, so that is within our...
Right, your rules allow that. The same rule that talks about a vigorous public participation effort, and I apologize for not having the number at my fingertips, but it does say the board has the power to require an applicant to go back to the locality, have that discussion, and then come back to you. I mean, it is an option for you to put it to reject the application.
I know we've sent some applicants back for various reasons, but not very many.
Yes,
that would have been my comment, is that we do, and the flexibility, if you don't think it's complete, send it back. Put it on the pending list, because that's where you're going to get your answers. Okay. Why should you spend your time screening something that they have not given enough thought to the process? We can just come and get it and... So I think that you use the rules for in your favor and send them back. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they're going to get the message. They need to listen to Candace when they come, and she comes and does the training. And if it says, state this in your minutes, state it in your minutes. We had one application last month that there was nobody at their public hearing, and yet they assume that we knew what they've been talking about all along. There was no discussions whatsoever on any of the terms. And so, for me, I felt like I don't know what's going on there. They might have talked about it in another meeting sometime, but in this public hearing, they didn't address it. So I'm not satisfied. So I don't want to make a decision when I don't know what kind of participation went on. So, you know, to me, the staff, if they knew that, but sometimes they don't know until they put the packet together for the meeting that the minutes are not complete.
Well, one of the things that I think's happened, too, is that, say it was during a commission meeting, which we're mostly familiar with, even if the public hearing was empty, then it's up to the responsibility of the commissioners to create that discussion and create the minutes to have all of those things discussed or at least brought to the table among themselves.
That's
is
right.
That correct?
Yes.
Yes. So
for sure.
And by the way, it's Rule 990-8-3E, second paragraph. The board may require additional public hearings if it determines the applicant did not adequately disclose to the public the impact of the financial assistance during the initial public hearing. And it talks about if the board approves something that is substantially different from the application, the board may require the applicant to go back again and discuss that modified funding package.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Candace, for loaning me her Bible.
Okay, so in order to get, we know we have another agenda item here to get to, so I think it'd be helpful if we have staff identify these pieces of information that could show up in the application that aren't currently. So we'll bring that to the board discussion next month. We can start to put together a tool without waiting it yet on this criteria that we could incorporate in for applicants in the future, that they could have more standard discussion about loan terms with their public hearings. And that would be the purpose of that tool. So we can start to piece that together a little bit. We'll see if we can get it together for next month's meeting. So that would kind of be the next steps I would suggest, unless anybody's got other ideas they want to incorporate.
I don't. I want to make sure I hear. This is for the applicant's part of it.
Yes.
It being sensitive to the conversation that's occurred. I'd like to have a discussion of whether we should have weighted things in it at some point, not yet, not when. Because the weighted part, I'm not sure we have consensus on yet.
That's fine, and we'll discuss that next month.
Okay.
Yes, Greg?
I guess everybody has comments, and I guess I'm just trying to boil it down a little bit.
And I think you've mentioned a couple times, Jonathan, that everybody wants discretion, you know, to use it. But we're trying to establish a weighted tool for that. And it seems like there's two parts to this. One is affordability. A big part of affordability is so the fund continues to in the future. But then also there's two objectives. The applicant wants to come in and get as best terms as they can. And solely on affordability, and our role is to make sure to basically give them as much affordability, is protect the fund as much as possible, doing that by taking as much loan as possible. Along those lines, you know, Alex and Allison spoke a lot about, you know, the criteria that for affordability. I guess my question there is that do they see any tool that that we're missing, or that they, you know, as far as that criteria, is there more of a weighted portion of that that we should be aware of? And then the other is we speak about need. And there's a whole spectrum of need. Everybody comes in with the need, you know, the balance between need and want. Is that two separate tools, I wonder? It seems like the affordability is a pretty empirical balance, an empirical set that you'd set up, because that's the specific variables. The need, that's far more subjective. And so I don't know. Is there any tool for need that whether staff or anybody else can see as a tool that we can use there?
Could I comment to that as well?
Sure.
Health, safety, and welfare are needs by definition within the code. Maybe there's subjectivity in that health, safety, and welfare, but I think that starts to define it for me, at least, as opposed to things that are, especially with the tightening fund and the way we look at things. I think most of us have seen the wants. I think that's most of what we're trying to discern, is what do you want versus what do you need? And whether it's in the particular project, whether it's and I hesitate to use any examples for fear of the further discussion, but a water slide versus a fire truck. To me, I think we've been doing that, if I'm understanding your question correct, in terms of, I think we try, I guess the questions in my mind are similar, but I think we have some definitions for the needs and wants that we can apply, or maybe we do apply. And I'm bringing that as a question to anybody else. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we're going to solve all these issues today. So I suggest we try to put a pin in a little bit of this. We'll try to incorporate as much discussion as we've heard into our November meeting for the next discussion on this and come back around. I think we'll have a little more time. We can, you know, if we divide these up into three meetings, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. So we'll move forward with those kind of two objectives, and then a further discussion next month around these types of issues would be my suggestion. We have one item. I know we've got some discussion to have here, so I would entertain a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Utah Code Annotated 5242051C.
For the purposes of?
Discussion, pending litigation.
And it'll be a roll call vote?
Yes. Well, I need a motion first.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Mr. Stevens.
Assuming I can stay in it. I say that
in yeah, we know that conversation. So let's do roll call vote on that. Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Ms. Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Chair votes in favor.
Yes.
Mr. Commissioner Dalton? Senator Winterton?
Yes.
Mr. Glucky? Yes. That's all having being present, having voted. This session will be closed. We'll invite staff and board members to stay, and we'll excuse everybody else at this time.
Chair.
This will be my last board meeting, and I want to thank the board. I've been here just shy of 6 years, and it's truly been an honor and one of my highlights on the boards I've sat on. I feel like that we've really helped and made a difference in the state of Utah, and especially in the small communities. Barring that the Senate confirms a name, that will happen in the interim in 2 weeks. If that goes through, then you'll have a new board member in November. So thank you for the opportunity to rub shoulders with you. I appreciate that.
And we are looking forward to recognizing you publicly at a future board meeting. So I hope you'll come along and get your award. We're making sure to get the dates right whenever this happens. So I know that's going to show up on our gift to you. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Guys, it's been good. I'll be here in a different capacity. I'll be representing the legislature when I visit from here out.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything?
I'd just like to add to the thank you for your service and your ability to help educate all of us at different points. As a board member and as an individual, very grateful for his presence.
Yeah, I'm feeling emotional all of a sudden. So I feel like, what a great way to end the meeting. So I do need some tissues here.
Well, I didn't want that at the start of the meeting.
Go home and shave your head.
It will not take long, I can assure you of that. Okay, we just need a final motion to adjourn.
I'm not making any motion.
Mr. Zanotti made the motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned. We will see you in November.